find your Bibles and go back to the Old Testament, if you would, today. Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 will be our backdrop this morning as we wrap up our Lego series and use those five verses to talk about the fact that you have all the pieces that you need. We've been spending the last few weeks talking about the law of the Lego and what that looks like and what that means. And we've been talking and using the Lego as our metaphor for how we are understanding what it is that we're discovering in Scripture and how we're living out our lives. We gave you the history of Legos along the way. I think I'd mentioned the very first week that you know the largest producer of tires in the world is Lego. More than Firestone, Bridgestone, or any other company, Lego makes more tires, little bitty tires that go on cars, than any other tire company in the entire world. Lego is the leader when it comes to that. Lego also has produced over 4 billion people. They are the largest people group known to mankind. They are the biggest. They are the best. Legos have gone to space in the past 5 years. There's been a science research project where Legos have gone into space, and Legos have been used in zero-gravity environments up on our International Space Station. There's been a home built entirely out of Legos by a British businessman in 2009. It took 3.3 million bricks. It included a working toilet. Been rough to sit on. A shower. And a bed. Imagine that, if you will. It was dismantled this past year. But today, we're going to talk about you having all the pieces that you need. And to do that, we're going to go to the Old Testament, Joshua 1. 1 through 5, familiar verses probably to you if you know the story of Joshua. And it says this: after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you swore to the forefathers and lead the people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you, and don't turn from it to the right or to the left. Let's pray for just a moment as we begin. Heavenly Father, we've lifted our voice in praise. We have been able to take our hearts and turn them toward you. We've been reminded again in very powerful, vivid ways how essential it is to build our life upon you and your love, and how you become our connect point, our foundation for everything else that's going to happen in our life. And Lord, once again, we come to a moment where we begin and get ready to worship in your word. And we would ask that today you would take our hearts and make them ready to hear exactly what we need to hear as we build on the truth of Scripture, and allow that truth to become a part of this very complex and complicated thing that you're building in our life and the world around us. That is our desire and our hope this day. Help us to push aside anything that would distract us from seeing you and seeing you clearly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We began the series by going back and looking at a moment where Jesus was asked what was the most important thing, what was the most important commandment. And in summary, he basically said, love God, love others. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. And it gave us what we call the law of the Lego. And it's simply this: you were created to connect. And along the way, we've looked at connect points that you have where you can connect to God, and you're allowed to connect to his peace, his presence, his promise, and his purpose. And we've also challenged you to imagine a world that could be redefined and defined by love, because we're to connect with others by loving them. And so as we connect to others, we can change the world that we live in. We can help build the world that God has created or that God has placed us in to help create. And so if you have all the pieces that you need, you have all the information that you need as well, so you can connect to God and connect to others, what happens then? And that's what today is about as we wrap up this series. It's been a four-week series where we've looked at a lot of things. It's carried us through the Easter season. And each piece of it along the way has been done for a reason. For example, once again today, we have kids and adults that have gone through this building, and they're looking for Lego guys. And I just told you, that's the largest people group, sort of, kind of, if they were real. But Lego guys. And each week, the Lego guys have been progressively harder to find. But if you were looking for them today and you still don't have all the Lego guys yet, look up. Hanging up on that light chandelier there, about halfway up, there's a Lego guy there hanging out. If you haven't found that one, you can mark that one off your list. And you can also look back over David Tindall's right shoulder. There on the light switch, there's a guy right there. Check him out. Two freebies right there. And kids, today, just for you today, if you will see Richard, before they leave, as you've been checking in with him and showing him your list, today we're going to give you a special bonus as you walk out the door. We're actually going to give you a piece of our set to take home with you. Parents, you're welcome. Because if you don't know, we have a children's musical next week, and we got to get this out of here. And we're depleting our storage areas at Pinecrest. They're now gone. We have limited storage areas. So kids, today, just for you, you can take a stage piece home with you. And Richard will even autograph it for you before you leave. And so you can have that this morning on your way out the door. And that way, that'll help us clean up just a little bit. But the Lego guys that you've been looking for, though, were a breakthrough moment. Because in 1974, Lego kind of remodeled and changed some of their model of how they were doing business. And as a result, they realized that they had all these incredible bricks, and they'd had them for a number of years, and people had been building and building and building and building. But somebody got the bright idea that something needed to change. And we're doing a series on that, one of our Sunrise series. We're talking a little bit about change. And so it kind of ties in, but leaders understand the need to change, because the world is always changing. And so Lego, as a company, had this amazing world that they had created that was loaded with stuff and structures of how to make, but the one thing they didn't have is any people. And so 1974 was the year that they introduced the Lego people that we've been looking for every week in this building, because they came up with this byline that became the byline for creating them. What good does it do to have a world with no people in it? That's a good thought. What good does it do to build a world with no people? What good does it do you try to move through life and miss out on the connecting with people that God has placed in front of you? And so when we talk about connecting with God and connecting with others, it is the command that Jesus gave. He said it was the most important. And so there are some things that you need to remember now that you have the pieces in place. So how is it you're going to connect with others? How are you going to do the hard stuff of connecting in the world around you? And so we're going to look at that this morning and use the Joshua passage to talk about that just a little bit. So if you have your worship flyer, you can follow along. The first thing I want you to see is simply this. You build from your past to the future. You build from your past to the future. And we find that in verse 2. You need to be able to accept change in your life, and you need to be willing to let go of the past. Every person in this room has to be willing to live life moving forward. Now, when I say that, everybody agrees with that. I know that. Everybody nods. Easy to nod, not so easy to do. Because there's a lot of people, not you, but other people that weren't here today, that struggle with that. They struggle with moving forward. But we constantly have to be willing to change, move forward, take a new step, start afresh, start anew. Listen to the first words that God speaks to Joshua. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Moses is a great leader. We know that. We know the story of Moses. They made a movie about him, for goodness sakes. Moses had a great relationship with God, and God used him in endless, miraculous, marvelous ways. He took a group of stiff-necked people and led them for years through a wilderness. He got frustrated with them, and yet he defended them. He took them where they needed to go. He got them where they needed to be. And Moses died in Moab at the age of 120 and was so special to God that he went up on a mountainside and God performed his funeral, and no one else was there. He was that tight with God. After he died, we go back in Scripture and we discover that the children of Israel, they mourned Moses for 30 days. 30 days. And then it was time to move on. They got 30 days, and then God comes along and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan and move into the land that I'm about to give them. In essence, God was saying, turn the page, Joshua. Moses is dead. He was a great man. He was my servant. He was faithful. And now he's gone. It's time for you to move forward and move on. This journey didn't end with Moses. This journey continues, and now it's your time. You step up and you lead. There are a lot of people I know. You know them too. And maybe this hits a little close to home, and maybe you're the person I'm talking to today. But to be quite honest, if you were transparent, you are in the desert. And God is saying to you, turn the page and move forward. Quit focusing on what's lost and what you don't have and move forward into the future that I have created for you. Don't squander the future I have for you by staying focused on your past. Maybe that's for you. Because that's what God, in essence, is saying to Joshua here. They mourned. It wasn't that they were not, they weren't excited Moses was gone. They loved Moses. I mean, Moses was their stability. Moses had stood in God's presence. Moses had brought them to where they were. He was what they knew. And that was their comfort level. But it was time for them to move forward. See, the greatest obstacle to experiencing the joy of God in your life today is the refusal to let go of yesterday or to keep repeating yesterday. See, it's not that people will say, I can let go of yesterday. But what happens is they want to keep revisiting it. Every time something goes wonky, every time something goes south, every time that something doesn't go the way they want, they always go back and default to, it always is this way, it always is this way, it's always this way, it's always this way. Well, you know what that means? You never let it go. It's not that that memory has made you better, and it's not that memory has made you stronger. It's the fact that you haven't let it go. If you've ever played a game of baseball, you know that sometimes if you're on first, you need to steal second. But guess what? You can't steal second if you keep your foot on the bag at first. You can't move to second base until you take your foot off the bag and get out on the base pass, where you might be caught, by the way. See, there's a risk of moving from first to second. But even if you decide you don't want to move and you stay there, guess what? The inning could be over. You could be out. And so there is a moment where you have to decide that it's time to move forward. And that is what God is saying to Joshua. In your life, you have to build from the past into your future. And you've got to let go of that if you want the future that God has planned for you. Churches struggle with this a lot. A new pastor comes in, but some folks never accept the fact that the old pastor left. And so in a meeting, they might hear something like, well, Brother Bill used to do it this way. Or Brother Bill used to try things this way. I wonder if Joshua ever had that problem too. I wonder if he ever was trying to get people to go that way and say, well, Joshua, Moses never did it that way. Moses never told us we were going to try it that way. Moses would have instructed us this way, and then we'd have spent, 20 days waiting and getting ready. Moses wouldn't have done it this way. I wonder if they were following Joshua, and Joshua was leading them off in that promised land into territory that they'd never been in before, and Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that knew how to go there. Somebody would sit back and go, yeah, I think Moses would have done this different. See, Joshua contended with that, and what happens to us sometimes is we just don't want to get over our past. The nicks and the scrapes and the bumps, we just think that they have to define us, and while they do shape us, they don't have to define us. Let me give you a principle. The past should be a springboard, not a hammock. You ever try to get out of a hammock? Holy mackerel. You sit down in a hammock, it's like gravity just got turned up 10 notches. Can't get out of it. You try to roll over, you flip out of it, it's not graceful. No one's ever graceful getting out of a hammock. They can't get out of it. It's not smooth. It's not quick. But the past is to be a springboard, not a hammock. Not a place that you relax, get trapped in, and rest. The past is your springboard into the future. And we just made this observation with somebody a few minutes ago. And God often redeems even the mistakes of the past. I mean, how many times in your life have you really screwed something up? You really have messed it up. You know you messed it up. You know you made a bad choice, made a bonehead choice. And yet God, because you were faithful and you didn't lose sight, God took it and he redeemed your past. He used it to spring you into the future. And yet sometimes we just think, well, I just can't do it that way because that's just not the way I am. One day when I was in seminary, years, a thousand years ago, I was sitting in a class where one of my mentors was there, Dr. Phil Briggs. And seminary is one of those things where, at least in the day, where what would happen is that sometimes there would be people that would come to seminary and you'd be sitting in class with them. And I had just come out of college, so I was a lot younger then. But then there were some folks in the class who were a little bit older. They had come out of a business background. They had gone out and they had been successful in business, but then God had gotten a hold of their life a little bit later. They'd surrendered their life to ministry. They knew they needed the training, so they had ended up back in seminary. It would happen all the time. In one particular class, there was one guy, and I remember because it was funny. But he was waxing about just how difficult and unfair it was that he had managed a company on his own. He had a pretty good background. He kind of had a lot of resources. And here he was. He was forced to go to class with a bunch of snotty-nosed, you know, 20-somethings. And you know, he had more life experience than they did and knew a lot more about the world. But yet here he was having to kind of struggle through and live like a seminarian, and he just didn't like it. And Phil Briggs was listening to him, and Dr. Briggs was always funny and always said things with a smile, even when it wasn't funny. And he had that southern Oklahoma, Texas, wrapped-up accent. He'd go, "Now, you know, you just need to stop that." And he looked at this guy, and he came across the room, and he said, "Those days are gone, and they are your past. And if you can't turn the page and move past them, you're not going to be fit for use in the kingdom of God. Maybe the very reason you're here is that God can teach you to let go of that past and move into the future. But here's what I'm going to tell you. If you don't get over it, I'm going to throw you out of my class. And we're not going to talk about this again." There was this holy hush that kind of fell over the room. And Briggs would go back to the platform, and when he was getting ready to teach again, then he'd stop me and go, "Oh, anybody else have any more complaints?" We all shook our heads no. But see, we're tempted to think that life was easy in the past. The past and Satan have a great way of deceiving you about that. You know, the prophet Joel, Billy Joel, says the good old days weren't always good, and tomorrow's not as bad as it seems. And Billy Joel's not really the prophet in the Bible. So if you think I'm messing with you, I am. But it's true. Satan has this amazing way of making us think or letting us fall into a trap that it was just so much better back then. And here's the deal. God has wired you in such an incredible way that the bad stuff you've kind of let go of a little bit. Time has an amazing way of erasing some of the worst stuff and allowing you to build on the future that you get to move into. And so ask yourself, what page do you need to turn? Because you can connect and you can live the life that you were created to live. And you can move from the past into the future because God has given you the foundation as you've connected with Him to be able to be who you were created to be. The second thing that you need to know is that belief is the building brick. Belief is the building brick. Now, we're going to look here in just a second at verse 3. Because we trust and believe and we move forward with God. So belief becomes that building brick that we need. When you walked in today, you looked at the set. And the set's been fun, right? It's been colorful. It's cool. And I don't know if you've noticed or not. I'm sure that some of you have. The more astute in the room, the quicker in the room, the quicker on the uptake in the room, have noticed what's going on each week. But if you didn't, let us go back in time to 4 weeks ago when the series started. And when you walked in the room, this is what it looked like. That was the set the first week. The second week, it looked like this. Last week, it looked like this. And this week, well, you don't need a picture. You can look. Now, if you still didn't figure it out, ask your neighbor. They'll help you. But what happened each week is we added bricks to the mix. Each week that you walked in, whether you realized it or not, we were adding bricks, trying to teach you, trying to illustrate for you that even with a set, we're communicating biblical truth. In other words, you are a work in progress. I got it. We're talking about building, you're connecting with God, connecting with others, and you're going to go, man, I just can't do that. That is overwhelming. You know what? You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to connect. You are a work in progress. And when you do your job, you discover that each week your influence will expand. Each week you're going to build just a little bit bigger. Each week we're going to be reaching out a little bit further. We're going to be launching out a little bit differently. And each week we're going to discover that God is doing something with us that he hasn't done before. But it's okay to be a work in progress. You're not finished yet. You're not finished till he takes you home. And when he takes you home, you're done. See, if you've ever sat around and asked the question, how much more do I have to do? Do it till you die. And when you're dead, you're done. Remember how the passage started? Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses was done. He fulfilled what God wanted him to do. And then, Joshua, now it's time for you. There's going to come a day when you're done. And God's the one that gets to make that call. Until then, you are a work in progress, and you are constantly building and expanding and becoming more. And belief is the building brick. Each brick that you attach, each time that you connect, you're attaching on that belief that holds true and holds fast to the things of God. Look at verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot. That's what God promises Joshua. And I want you to know that he's making the same promise to you. And what I mean by that is simply this, that God wants to give you power in every area of your life. Every time that you put your foot down, every time that you're moving, every time that you're going somewhere, God is with you each step of the way. And he will guide those steps and he will take you where you need to go. Paul used the phrase and he said it this way in Romans 8:37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In other words, God has made you to win. You don't fight for victory, as we've said. You fight from victory. The victory is won. God is with you each step of the way, and you build and you build and you build on the belief that he has placed within you, and you walk in victory. That's the life that God wants for you. And every area of your life, you can experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's your inheritance. Now, let me say that again, because I got a gnawing feeling that some of you in this room don't have that going on in your world. Wouldn't you, let me put it this way, wouldn't you like to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? He's laid them out there for you. He's waiting for you to take them. And it's time to stake your claim. You are living your life with the foundation of belief being the basic building block that you use to move through every day of your life. If you're trying to move through life and not use that, well, one, you're a fool. And two, you're ruining everything that you touch. You want to know why it's not working? You want to know why it's out of control? You want to know why you can't fix it? Because you're not operating with the connection that God has given you to be who you were created to be. God is with you. He's in control. He's not going to leave you, and he's not going to forsake you. There's a fan club in the world of Lego that goes by the initials AFOL. It stands for Adult Fans of Lego. And these are a group of adults who have become a part of this international fan club whose favorite hobby is building with Lego. And you say, well, that's childish. Really? With all the fan clubs that are out there, that's childish? And they build these incredible creations out of Lego. But yet, the one thing you need to know is that the AFOL, they are purist. And they are serious. Because to be a part of the AFOL, you can only build with real, genuine Lego. Now, in case you don't know, there's a lot of Lego ripoffs out there. I mean, you can go to the dollar store. You can go to the dollar store and you can buy packets of individually colored Lego blocks that look like Lego blocks. They've got the studs on them that connect like Lego blocks. They'll even connect to a real, genuine Lego piece. They're that close. But they're not real Lego blocks. And the AFOL has a test that they use to determine if the block that they're about to use is worth using. You know what it is? It's a drop test. They actually hold a Lego 3 feet off the ground and drop it. And Legos are designed, and they are so much more solid than the counterfeit ripoffs that they can tell from the sound when it hits the ground whether the Lego brick is real. If there's any doubt, they use the test. And if it's not the real deal, they throw it away. Because fake pieces make a hollow sound because there's nothing inside. And I want you to know, we live in a world where people are trying to connect to things that are hollow and they're not real and they're fake and they don't have the right sound, they don't sound right, they don't feel right, and they don't work right, and they don't fit quite right. And when the pressure's on, they crack and they fall apart and they fall away. Why? Because you're not building on belief. That's not the main building block that you're using in your life. As a result, you're trying to piece your life together, and it looks creative, and sometimes it looks beautiful, and sometimes it's even spectacular. The problem is, it won't stand. Because you're not building your life on the real deal, on the genuine. You're going with the fake. What did he promise Joshua? No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Now, understand what that means. Does that mean that Joshua never lost a battle? Of course not. We discover in Scripture that Joshua took his lumps like everybody else. So what does that really mean? It means that Joshua lived his life in victory, in the shadow of God's provision. And it's time to stake your claim and build your life on the bricks that God has given you and connect to Him so that you can connect to others. And then last, you have to remember that you're not building alone. Have to remember that you're not building alone. Outside, just inside the door as you come in, for the last 4 weeks, we've been working on this project, this Lego project. It's like a Lego table out there. Some of you have seen it. First week, a little bit of confusion. My bad. Didn't explain it very well. We gave people Lego pieces. We told them to give your piece away, and you come, you connect your Lego piece, or grab the pieces out there and connect. We didn't communicate real well to our kids. Our kids thought it was like a real Lego table. So they're like tearing things apart, re-putting things together. Tearing things apart, putting it together. Some of you experienced that. You were trying to put something together, the kids were taking it apart. So I had to kind of do a little correction in there, so we got that worked out. So now if you go out there and look, and I don't know if you bothered to look today, because after 4 weeks, you quit paying attention, right? You quit paying attention to the set, you quit paying attention to all the details that are out there that might be teaching you something, right? We all do that. We get busy. But if you look out there today, there's something that's going on out there, and it's kind of cool. So look on the way out the door, because it won't be there next week. But when we started that, the first building that was on there was a hospital. If you were with us 4 weeks ago, I made a statement to you. The church is not a hotel for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. We said the creation out there would have something to do with us and who we are as a ministry. We started with a hospital. And that's the reason that first building was put in out there. And then along the way, each week, you guys have been building something. I don't know what it is. I mean, there's towers and there's buildings and they interconnect somehow, and there's like strange pieces that seem to be out there in the middle of nowhere, and then trees that move around from time to time. We had flowers, but they seem to be gone this week. I don't know where they went. I guess they died. But anyway, we've been building this thing out there, and interestingly enough, there was one structure that seemed to withstand and became the thing that everybody started kind of glomming onto. And I mean, Rick Morris is a roofer. I don't know if he could make sense of the roof that's out there. I mean, it's got things, whirly jigs and stuff just coming off of the thing, and it's this incredible creation out there, but it just means that you've just connected along the way. You see, in our lives, we have the opportunity to connect and build and know that you're not by yourself. God is with you, but then we have others that are kind of coming alongside of you and lending their life and pouring their life and connecting just like you are, and because of that, we can build something that is creative and unique and original and not cookie cutter. And that's what we've been working on out there. And so each week you've been coming in and playing with Legos, it really is a spiritual exercise. It's reminding you that you're building something, and you're building something with those gifts that God has put with you. Verse 5 says this, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Those words were echoed again in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And it's very similar to the last words that Jesus spoke on planet Earth when he said, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Whether you realize it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, you're never out of God's sight. He watches over you, and he's with you all the time. And if you can believe that, if you can understand that, if you can accept it, it changes the way that you face each moment of your life. You are never alone. And then when you make the choice to connect to God and connect to others, you begin to discover something else that is amazing. You are connected to the people of God. And you're never alone. And when people get serious about following Jesus and get connecting with God and connecting with others, then all of a sudden that becomes a priority that begins to drive our lives. See, a lot of folks want to connect to God, but they want others to connect to them. They just don't want to connect to others. And so they kind of move through life making it all about them and what they want. And if you connect to them right, they'll like it. But they don't really want to invest back into you. But no matter what, you have to keep connecting to others, not based on what they do, but based upon what you do. If the connection is broken, make them pull a brick apart. You just keep connecting. And we have the luxury of knowing that as we go out and we try to build and become who we're supposed to be in this world, we're never, ever alone. The very first Lego that was built way back in the day was fun, but limited in value. But then by the time you had enough Legos and a little bit of imagination, you could start building things. And this was long before the days where we had Lego people to populate these places that people would build. But then something else happened. It was a breakthrough revolutionary moment for the Lego company. In the first 10 years that they were built, or that they went to the market, they discovered that they had to have something else to really be successful if you were going to play with Lego in a way that was meaningful and it would last. You had to have a base. See, the first Lego bricks were just bricks in a bucket. But they introduced the base, which became the roadmap that you connect those Legos to. Even out there in our little design that we're doing out there, we have four different individual bases that we've connected together that we're building on. Why? Because you can connect. It gives you a foundation. And what happens in your life is God gives you the foundation and he gives you the roadmap that you need so that you can find the places to connect. See, if I were to say to you, connect to God, connect to others, and just go on your way, tra-la, 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 well, that's kind of deflating a bit because you kind of get out the door and by the time you get lunch, you're like, I don't know what to do. But at the end of the day, you don't have to worry about what to do. God is going to give you the places that you go. And then all of a sudden you begin to realize that the places that you are where he's placed you. We go back to what we talked about way back in the fall where you started thinking about all those different places that you go out and you launch into on a regular basis. It's all interconnected back there. And in the hallway, each week as you go to the bathroom, you come out and be reminded you now have to launch out into the world. And as you launch out into the world, those places you go, those connect points that God has placed you where when you connect your life there, you will make a difference there and you make a difference for eternity. And God is saying to the people of Israel the same thing he says to you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Everywhere you go, everything that you do, I'm going to be with you. In your dark days, I'm with you. On your best days, I'm with you. On your confusing days, I'm with you. When you don't know what to do, I'm still with you. And when you know exactly what you're doing, I'm still with you. And I'm pushing you along and making you successful. See, and you might want to say, when you hear that, well, I don't always feel his presence. And God says, but I'm with you. And you might argue back and say, well, I don't deserve your presence right now because I'm a rat. And you know what God says? I'm with you. Or you might say, but I'm no Moses and I'm no Joshua and I don't really have that kind of influence. And you know what God says? I'm with you. Just like I was with them. I'm with you. And you can be everything that you were created to be. And in order to make it into the promised land, in order to get in the habit of living your life in the presence of God, you have to understand that it is not a long journey to get into God's presence. It is a one word, God help me. And when you make the decision to believe, trust, and follow, and when you take that seriously, then you are on a journey that changes everything. And God's presence is there. If you walked in today feeling alone, I got news for you. You didn't come in alone. God was with you. Even if you feel like you're sitting alone right now, I've got news for you. God's with you. And as you look around this room, there are people who have felt the same way that you do, who have tried to struggle the same way you do, but there are moments when we have to come back and recognize the fact that God is with us and it matters and everything that we do matters. And it's not by accident and we're not alone. And we can be who we were created to be. So what does your tomorrow look like? Can you look ahead and look at the ways that you can connect to God and connect to others and realize that you're going to make a difference in the world? Can you see how it works out? Can you see what it can be? Do you have any idea about the importance and the possibility of it? Loving God, loving others. You were created to connect. So you can spend your entire life wondering, what's God's will for my life? Love God, love others. But I don't know what to do tomorrow. Well, love God, love others. But I don't know how to do that. Well, you're created to connect. Connect. Look for ways. Look for opportunities. You have what you need. He's given you the pieces, and he's going to go with you each step of the way. And it matters. It really does. See, I want to show it to you before we left today. You saw this or not. Some of you did. Some of you didn't. It's just a rope. John, help me if you wouldn't mind. Yeah. Take that. Go out in the hallway. Not to your car. Help me out a little bit. Let's get it over everybody's head. Nice. Thanks, sir. Thanks, John. Now, this is good enough. You stay there. I don't want you to leave. Just stay there. Just give me. See, this is your life. And each of these little colors are the Lego blocks where you're connecting to God and connecting with others. And most of us spend all of our lives working on this and worrying about this. You're worried about what you're doing today. You're worried about what you're doing later. You're worried about where you're going tomorrow. And we spend so much of our life and so much of our energy pouring our lives into this. But you need to understand that this is not your life. This is your life. See, because this life, this rope, represents eternity. And so much of our lives we spend about worrying about all the connections we make here, not realizing that what we're connecting here reaches out and throughout the rest of our lives, which is eternal, by the way. We talked about that not too long ago. You're living eternal life in the here and now. This matters. What you're doing now matters for eternity. See, when you're so focused on what's wrong and why this isn't right or why you want this and want this, you're missing out on the fact that what you're doing, how God is allowing you to connect, is building toward this tomorrow, this eternity, and you're going to carry this into eternity with you. You ever have those moments where you wonder why some people seem to have this part of life so good and you don't? Your life really stinks. Well, guess what? That's a reward. What you're working on right now, everything that God is placing in your life, is building toward eternity, because you're going to carry out, and the bulk of your life is out here, not here. Yet so often, there are some people that this becomes the entire focus of the world. All they do is they build this. They think this is what's important. They think this is what matters. They get up every day and they think, this is what matters, this is what I want, this is what I think, this is what I feel. And you know what happens when they're done? They die, and it's done. And eternity is lost. The moment is gone forever. They can't have it back. They won't get it back. But this is what connects, and this is what connects to the future. What you're doing now by connecting to God and connecting to others is what's going to matter for tomorrow and throughout eternity. This is where the value is. So don't grow frustrated and don't grow weary of connecting to God and connecting to others. Don't think that this doesn't matter. It does. And every block that you're putting together is all a part of this massive timeline that God has going on in your life that he's going to take into heaven. And you know what happens? You're going to get rewards for this. See, when other people have gotten all the reward they're going to get before they die and they're done, you're just beginning. And you get crowns and rewards. And you know what? We're going to spend all our life worrying about what are we going to do with our crowns? We're going to throw them down at the feet of Jesus. The rewards that he's going to give us, we're going to throw back at him in a nice way. Because they won't have the value. But this is what we're building now. This is what the connection is about. And all these things that we do, we say, I don't know if it makes a difference. Oh, it makes a difference. And not only that, but it makes a difference in not only your life, but think about all the different lives that start intertwining with you throughout eternity and traveling down this massive rope that gets stronger and stronger and stronger in these cords of rope, just like a rope. They get banded together. It matters, and it doesn't end. This can be overwhelming and distracting. There's no doubt about it. This can get frustrating as all get out. These connection pieces can be hard. There's no doubt. But at the end of the day, this is what matters, because we're moving into this. And your eternal life starts in the here, in the now. Don't waste so much time and energy and frustration worrying about this. This is nothing. The length of this rope runs down across the room, into the hall. We even rolled up part of it just because we had more than we needed. But what you're doing counts. Allow God to take it, use it, and trust Him to build it like it needs to build it. And embrace each moment, each day at a time, and become the best version of you that you were created to be as you connect to God and connect to others. Bow your heads and hearts and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you give us a chance to connect to you. Because if we didn't, we would be in a world of trouble, a world of hurt, and we'd face an eternity without you. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful that in the midst of all that we do, we have the security of knowing that everywhere we go, every place that we go, that you're with us. And our lives can be built on this belief and this trust that we have. And we know that it's the real deal. It's not hollow. It's not empty. It's going to last. And we know that our past is only a stepping stone and a springboard into the future, a tomorrow, that where you know what's best and you know what's going on, even when we don't. But our job, our task, is to be obedient in the day, in the midst of it, because we are building for eternity. There would be times, if we were honest, God, that we would like a better glimpse of eternity. There would be times that we wish that we knew a little bit more, but yet you give us enough and you give us a challenge to live by faith. And only when we do that can we discover the life that we have that's really worth living. And so I pray for each person in this room, if they've never made the decision to believe, trust, and follow you, that this would be their day to decide, that this would be their moment of decision. And wherever and however they're hearing my voice, either in this room now or watching later, listening later, I pray that they would either drop us a note on the way out the door, send us an email, reach out, connect, so that we can help and make sure they know how to make that connection to you. And then they can get busy connecting to others. Lord, there are many in this room and many who will hear this that we've already connected our lives to you, but yet there's some times that we get real lackadaisical about the importance of connecting to others. Because we don't realize the importance of it. We don't realize that our call is to connect. And then to trust you with the results. Because sometimes we're looking for something else, some other type of reward, some other kind of meaning in it. And Lord, sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. But Lord, the call is still a call to connect. And God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in that. That we would look for those ways that we can share your love and pour our lives into others. Because we realize that what we're pouring into them is a glimpse of you. If we could learn that, then the world that we live in becomes a radically different place. And each moment, each connect point, moves us into eternity and brings glory to you. That's our prayer and our hope for this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.